to TFL on Tape. For this episode, David reads Bobby Rollins' story, The Curator. Bobby's story appeared in the summer 2023 issue and begins with the first line. Thomas hadn't expected to be alive when the town's time capsule was opened. We hope you enjoy.
Thomas hadn't expected to be alive when the town's time capsule was opened. 25 years was a long time to have been buried in it, after all, and despite the insistence of the organizers that it would be a safe and comfy abode for a quarter of a century, the seemingly endless number of waivers he had to sign before he moved in whispered otherwise. To be fair, he was no different in his thinking when he had settled into the 12-cubic-foot capsule than those who had made him sign the forms. He, too, had assumed it was only a matter of time before it would also begin to serve as his coffin. His mother, of course, was of a different opinion. "Finally, my boy is going to do something worthwhile with his life," his mum cheered after he had told her that he had been hired as the capsule's live-in curator. "Finally, I have something to be proud of. My never-do-well, layabout, good-for-nothing son has at long last gone out and landed himself a full-time job." "Now, now, Mum, don't go and get yourself all excited like that. There are things I need to prepare for now that I'm a working man, like living underground for the next 25 years. "I know," his mum excitedly interrupted him. "I tried to tell a neighbor that, but do you think she would listen to me? I told her my boy has even gotten employer-provided housing thrown in as part of the deal. And in this real estate market, too. It's absolutely incredible. She's green with envy." There was no mistaking it. The cynics might say he was burying himself in a grave, but a large part of Thomas was undeniably proud of himself. He had been hired for a job that suited him perfectly, and it came with accommodation to boot. He couldn't wait to end the tiresome routine of scrounging for rent money every month, and he was keenly anticipating closing the door on his studio apartment a final time, which, at 250 square feet of well-marketed urban loft living, was roughly, he noted wryly, twice the size of the capsule. "This job is complete bank," he told his pal Jay. "They're going to pay me to look after the place and keep things working and in shape down there. I get a paycheck every 2 weeks and a place to chill that comes with food, drink, and video games. I mean, it's got everything." "But what are you going to do down there?" Jay asked him. "It's not like you can come out on a Friday night or go for a walk or a drive. You'll be down there, isolated and locked in. Seriously, Tommy, think about it. 25 years is a long time." "It's all copacetic, my friend. All I'm going to do is lie back and get paid. I just have to look after the exhibits, keep the place clean, do some research, and prep some material to update the capsule's MySpace account a couple of times a week. And I'm golden. Seriously, Jay, I found a way to escape from the crap pit of discontent I live in. I am so tired of the hand-to-mouth, paycheck-to-pawn-shop lifestyle, and being forced to be part of the pantomime of applying for jobs I don't want, can't respect, and struggle to keep. But once I start this time capsule curator gig, that's all over. Trust me, it's playtime." Thomas was only 30 when the seal was closed above him, and the capsule submerged into the dirt under the lawn in front of the town hall. But for him, the move was anything but a decision of gloom. He saw his burying as a passage to a new sanctuary and an opportunity for a break from the dull routine of dull survival. Sure, he would likely die down there at some point, but so what? He had already begun the shift to a living-from-bed lifestyle above ground, and now he was merely committing to it. And when the big thinkers in the town hall's marketing department came up with the idea of a living time capsule with a paid curator's position, it was a match made in heaven. "Bon voyage, Thomas," one of the town officials looking down into the capsule told him as they all prepared for its descent. "Just remember, you will never be truly alone. We are only one intercom button away from you at all times, but keep in mind that everything we offer you from this moment on will be filtered through the lens of today. What you were fed and what you were provided with, be it information, product, or technology, will all align with the way the world is right now." "Sounds good," Thomas had replied, noticing with delight that the different gaming consoles he requested had been provided in the capsule. "Don't forget to follow the task list outlining your responsibilities as curator," another voice said, probably from HR. "It's all in the green binder, the one that's labeled task list. There will be the daily check-in calls with the project team, keeping up your health records, along with the regular tests of the air and water filtration systems, scheduled capsule maintenance, and tending to the microgreen gardens that will clear the air and supplement the daily food drops you receive through the chute." "Sounds good," he repeated, testing the mattress on the bed for softness by falling back onto it. "And you must always remember that you, too, are part of the exhibit," a third official, likely in the marketing department, continued. "To think, A man will return to the world after a 25-year absence of news and technology and walk into it again, right here in Widgeon's Crossing, is astounding. The perspective you're going to deliver will be sensational. It's really going to put us all in the international spotlight. Sounds good, Thomas responded again, this time as he fully reclined on the bed and began wishing that they would all just close the hatch and leave. You were great at the press conference, a fourth voice broke in, starting to annoy him. That's the kind of stuff we'll need to keep the marketing momentum. Your ambivalence to life above you has buzz on all the channels, but keep in mind, the beginning is always easy. Your real job will be to continue to engage the public with the thoughts and muses of a man living in a little part of the world that isn't impacted by time. Sounds good, Thomas concluded a fourth time. Now, it's been a long morning for me with the ceremony, reporters, cameras, speeches, goodbyes, and so on, and I'm honestly feeling a bit tired, so... He paused with a nudge of his chin, gesturing toward the hatch. We just want to make sure, one of the voices began. I guess I'm just going to have to shut this thing myself. Thomas finished the sentence while rising on his bed and reaching up to pull the hatch down tightly. As he sealed it with a turn and fell back down onto the mattress, he was overcome by the calm and quiet of the moment and the sheer and utter relief he felt now that he was finally separated from the voices, noises, people, and the larger world above. The first few days were blissfully unremarkable. The water, waste, and air filtration systems all worked perfectly. He completed his required tasks with a mix of faux dedication and genuine interest. The meals that arrived through the chute were fine, and once he learned to ignore the intercom unless it was a scheduled meeting, it was pretty much chill time, and he loved every minute of it. The hours would float away effortlessly, with Thomas just lying on his bed, staring at the ceiling, and doing absolutely nothing but following the many paths his thoughts led him down. Most people who turn 55 say the same thing. It is amazing how quickly 25 years pass, and Thomas was no different, despite having spent most of them lounging in bed. He couldn't articulate where the years had gone, only that they had passed, and like most others his age, he realized when looking back, there were still many things he had intended to do that had managed to escape him. When he was lowered with the time capsule, for example, he went with a foolproof set of plans for self-improvement. He was going to learn Spanish and Japanese, write 3 novels he had penned out in his brain, and become a talented viola and harmonica player. And yet, as he readied for his contract ending and the capsule being raised and the hatch opened, he realized that somehow, though a quarter of a century had passed, he hadn't gotten around to starting any one of them. It's just been really busy lately with work and everything that's going on, he said through the intercom to the project manager on the morning of the scheduled capsule opening. There was always something interfering with my life, like having to tend to the microgardens, doing the research sampling, or all those forms and reports you guys were always asking for. I mean, it was pretty busy down here, and I just don't think I ever had enough me time. The project manager sighed. We've been over this, Thomas, and there's nothing we can do. Your contract is expiring today, and the project is ending. The capsule has been raised to the surface, and it's time for you to leave and return to the world. Aren't you curious to discover what's happened up here? You're really not hearing me, Thomas replied. I feel like I've got the momentum now to start these writing projects I've got lined up, and I'm in the perfect mind frame to hit the linguistic lessons and the viola and harmonica practice hard. It's like I have the strategy all mapped out in my head and I'm ready to go, but I just need to find somewhere with some peace and quiet to actually do it. I'm thinking if I could get a 12-month extension as capsule curator, in full seriousness, we could all be looking at some pretty heavy masterpieces coming up with me this time next year. The project manager interrupted. Thomas, I want to be clear with you. Nothing has changed since we discussed this topic previously. The world is very different now than the last time you saw it, and the project is not being considered for renewal or extension. It ends today. But please remember, we respected your wishes to see the contract through to term, despite the town's many requests over the years to end the project early. You can't imagine all the stress the threat of eviction put me through, Thomas replied. And to be honest, I don't think I have completely recovered from it yet. When the government tries to take away your home, it stays with you, you know. Now that I think about it, that's probably why I never got around to starting my book. All right, Thomas, it's time for you to come out now. We're going to open the hatch, and then you're going to climb out, meet us all, and breathe this fresh air. Fair enough, Thomas replied, still reclining in his bed. But the hatch looks stuck from this angle. I'll give it my best, but I don't think it's going to budge. That's quite enough, Thomas. It's time to accept that your contract and employment with the town are ending today. You are eligible to receive a pension and move into subsidized accommodation as a retiree. And though we are all very impressed you have managed to disable the hatch, we are by no means surprised. We are prepared to do what we must to bring this project to its conclusion this morning. We have a few members of the police on hand who can assist you in leaving the property, and we have our engineering group here too, with tools, saws, and even the jaws of life. So prepare yourself, Thomas. We're coming in, and you're coming out. You'll never take me awake! Thomas rolled over and pulled the blankets up over his ears as two spinning circular blades appeared through the capsule's ceiling. The farewell party didn't take long. The police quickly hoisted him out of the capsule, and once the crane loaded his former home on a truck for disposal, there really wasn't much else to do. A humorless-looking man in a shirt and tie with the familiar voice of the project manager greeted him. Welcome back to Widgeon's Crossing, Thomas. As we've discussed, there are no festivities planned to commemorate the reopening of the capsule. It hasn't been a topic here for at least 20 years. It's nothing personal, I'm sure you understand, but the whole time capsule thing really doesn't fit into our branding nowadays. But never mind that. We've got a nice little urban loft studio set up for you while you acclimate to living above ground again, and we should talk to you about the community integration plan we've been working on. But first, let's get the doctor to give you a quick look, then we'll need your signature on our standard non-disclosure forms, and after a few days of health monitoring and some briefings on how the world has changed, we'll take you to your new apartment. Your mother and friend Jay will be waiting there for you. Thomas followed the man with the shirt and tie into the town hall, where everything looked much as he expected it would. They passed a few uninterested clerks with funny-looking clothes and hairstyles and walked into the standard office with oddly designed desks and chairs, until his eyes locked on what appeared to be a comfortable-looking couch. "Just have a seat, Thomas," the project manager said, "and I'll step out and ask the doctor to pop in, and when they're done, we can move you to the briefings we've got lined up for you this afternoon." "Sounds good," Thomas replied, locking the door as soon as the project manager had left. "But before any of that happens," he continued, pushing the couch in front of the door and then extending himself on it fully, "I'm just going to grab a little shut-eye. The paperwork and other stuff can wait. I got to relax for a few minutes first. I mean, seriously, I just got off work."
Bobby Rollins is prone to daydreams, some of which he puts into words. He hopes his stories make people laugh and think, both of which he would like more of in the world. Updates about his writing appear on Twitter at Writer Rollins. Bobby's story, The Curator, originally appeared in Volume 25, Issue 2 of The First Line. Tune in next time for another episode of TFL on Tape.